John chapter 10 again tonight, John chapter number 10. I'm giving you part two to a message I began this morning. We're still not going to complete this sermon tonight. The good Lord willing, we'll conclude this particular message next Sunday, either in the morning or at night. One reason I know that is I pretty much stopped typing, and because there's so many points to this, that I did not want to even be tempted to go further than I need to go tonight. So unless you want me to preach just by means of my mind, my notes end where I end tonight, okay? Let's pray together, and I'm sharing with you this thought found in verse number 11 of the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd. You know, I can testify tonight that He's been a good shepherd. Amen. And I can testify tonight that just like that word means, He's been a beautiful shepherd. He's been an honest shepherd. It's all in that word good, remember. He's been a worthy shepherd. He's a valuable shepherd. He's a virtuous shepherd. What a shepherd He is. And if you're saved tonight, He is yours. And you are His. And tonight I'm honored to be the preacher to just try to describe Him just a little bit to you tonight. We can't do it accurately. We can't do it exhaustively. But I trust that you'll ask God to speak to your heart. I'm going to give you six things tonight under this third point I'm starting tonight. There's about four or five more after this. I'm going to try to give you six of them about how He serves His sheep. You know, it's a challenge to my heart tonight before I even pray here and bring us up to date with where we are, that while it's an honor to serve the shepherd, and by the way, it is an honor to serve the shepherd, our service could never compare to His service to us. I mean, just what He does for His sheep is amazing. Things that summarize the shepherd with His sheep. Let's pray together and we'll share this thought tonight. Father, bless now, I pray. Would you calm our hearts? Would you forgive our sin? Help me to be clean. Lord, if there is anything, and I mean anything in my heart and life or mind that's displeasing to you, would you forgive me, remove it, get it out? And Holy Spirit of God, would you take full control of my words, of my thoughts? May everything that's said and the spirit in which it's given be well-pleasing to you, I pray. Help us now, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We're studying the Lord in this chapter here, verses 1 to 21, as being what He calls Himself, the Good Shepherd. As I said this morning, the Lord Jesus Christ is identified as different kinds of shepherds in the Bible. He's identified as the great shepherd in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20, the chief shepherd in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4, and here in this chapter, He's identified as the good shepherd, which means beautiful, valuable, virtuous, worthy, and honest. And as I said this morning, as a result of studying these verses, as I was in my office this week just plowing through this chapter, I felt like getting down on my face just to worship the Lord for who He is and what He does in our lives. This morning I preached on two things about Him. First of all, His sanction. We saw that in verses 1 through 4, basically identifying verses 1, 2, and 3, in that He is sanctioned, He is authorized, He's confirmed to be the real good shepherd, in that He entered by the door and He didn't try to come in some other way, and the porter opened to Him and recognized who He was. We noticed this morning, number 2, His sheep. And how His sheep know His voice and they follow the shepherd and flee from strangers. But tonight we come to major point number 3. We're going to camp out here as I try to give you 6 things about Him. And we'll pick this up next week, God willing, if God gives us life and He tarries His coming. And that is, we've seen His sanction, His sheep, and now we focus on His service. This is found in verses 3 to verse 18. And again, as I was studying these verses and saw these different things that the good shepherd does for and with His sheep, it just makes you just want to wrap your arms around Him, jump up on His lap, hug on Him a little bit. and just say, Lord, I can't believe that you've done that for me. Now, I want you to ask God to speak to your heart. Because the one word that came to my mind when I was dwelling on, what do I put this under? I mean, is there a word that begins with S, if I can, since I'm trying to alliterate? It's all of a sudden like the Lord hit me right between the eyes and said, it's right in front of you. I serve my sheep. I serve them. Challenging, isn't it? I mean, when we ought to be serving Him, He's serving us. And let me give you six things that summarize Him. The first one's kind of an all-encompassing thing, and then the second one starts talking about what He does, what He does, what He does. Number one, first of all, He owns the sheep. We see this. Now notice the language in verse 3, 4, and then verses 12 to 14. Look at this. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth, notice this now, his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth, notice this, his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Look at verse number 12. But he that is an hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not. In other words, the hired hand didn't own the sheep. He that's a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he's an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, notice this now, and know my sheep and am known of mine. Notice in verses 3 and 4, it calls his sheep his own. And in verse number 14, he calls them mine. My sheep. They are my sheep. They're mine. They belong to me. May I say this to you? A sheep is a valuable object of property. Its price is often great. And may I say this to you? The reason the shepherd owns the sheep is because they have paid a price for these sheep. And friends, let me say this, our good shepherd paid the highest price that's ever been paid to purchase us as his sheep. The Bible says in Psalm 79:13, so we thy people and sheep of thy pasture will give thee thanks forever. Psalm 95:7, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Psalm 100, verse 3, know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20, what, know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. May I say this to you? If you can say tonight that you're a sheep in his fold, that means you have been bought. That means you have been paid for. And that means you do not belong to yourself. You belong to the shepherd. See, the first thing about his service is he owns the sheep. And the reason he owns the sheep is because he paid the price. And friends, let me say this to you. We all get in the habit every now and then of doing our own things, going our own ways, being led astray, serving ourselves, serving that, serving Him, and forgetting to serve Jesus Christ. The only reason that we do that is because we've lost sight of the price that He paid for us. When you understand the price that the shepherd paid for you, you realize what an honor it is to be associated with Him. Number one, he owns the sheep. Number two, he knows the sheep. We see this in verse 3 and verse 14. Notice this. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. He calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. Look at verse 14. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep. I'm the good shepherd and I know them. I know them. You know what the word know means in verse 14? It means I have knowledge of them. It means I understand them. I comprehend them. I know all about them. Get this. His sheep, he knows them so much. And he knows them so intimately that in verse 3 he says, I call them by their name. Now look at that. And let that speak to your heart. You know what that is? That's a personal knowledge. That's an individual knowledge. May I say this to you? Does he know the bride of Christ? In other words, does he know the collective body? Sure, he knows the body. But may I say this to you? He also knows the members of the body. See, he didn't say, I call my fold. He didn't say that. He said, I call them by their name, is what he said. And this tells me he knows me. And he calls my name. And he understands me. He's taken knowledge of me. F.B. Meyer said, and I quote, the Eastern Shepherd knows all the particulars of each of his sheep. Knows its genealogy, knows its defects, its temper, its taste, and embodies some one of these in the name he gives it. Be like somebody calling me, you know, hey, Shorty, you know, all these kind of things. In other words, he many times would identify his sheep by what he knew about them, and he would call them by those names. The point is this, that the individual sheep in a flock all look alike to the untrained eye. They all look the same, but a good shepherd can tell them apart. Oh, this speaks to me. A good shepherd can tell all the sheep apart because of their defects and their specific traits. See, a man who was tending a large flock explained this to a Christian friend who expressed surprise at his familiarity with each animal. This shepherd, this friend heard him, and I'm quoting, said, see that sheep over there? Notice how its toe comes in a little. And he said, the one behind it, notice it's got a little squint. And the next one has a patch of wool off its back, and a head is one with a distinguishing black mark, and while the closest one to us has a small piece torn out of its ear. In other words, that friend was just watching that shepherd as he pointed out the sheep. Look at that, and look at that one. That one's got a black mark, and that one's got a piece out of its ear, and that one's got this one. The fact of the matter is observing all of them, the believer thought about Christ, the chief shepherd, the good shepherd, who also knows the individual weaknesses and failings of his flock, and watches over the members with discerning love and sympathetic understanding. See, with infinite concern, he notes the doubts. He notes the fears. He notes the trials, the conflicts, the defeats, the disturbances, and he swiftly comes to their aid. May I say this to you? If you are one of the sheep in the Master's fold, in the Good Shepherd's fold, he knows every detail about you. The Word of God even says, speaking to this line here in Matthew 10 verse 30, here's what Jesus said. He said, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. What does that mean? Maybe you've heard me explain this in the past, but you'll notice the Word of God did not say the very hairs of your head are counted. It didn't say that. It said the very hairs of your head are numbered. There's a difference. For instance, right now, if there's a hair that falls out of your head, if your hairs are counted, God knows how many you have left. But if your hairs are numbered, he knows which one fell out. Amen. He knows you so well, and he knows you so much and so intimately that a hair cannot fall off your body that he doesn't know what number it is. You know what that tells me? That tells me that no matter what I'm going through, if nobody else knows, the Good Shepherd does. He knows. He understands. He perceives. Number one, he owns the sheep. Number two, he knows the sheep. Number three, he leads the sheep. You see this in verses 3 and 4. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. He calleth his own sheep by name. Notice this. And leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. See, this means he's out front. This doesn't mean that he's back behind driving his sheep. No, he's out in front of his sheep, beckoning them to come. Follow me. He leads his sheep. You know what this means? This means everywhere he leads his sheep, he's been there before. Do you understand where I'm going with this? He will never lead you anywhere that he doesn't beat you there in the first place. You say, wait a minute, I've got sicknesses, I've got this problem, I've got that. Well, if God led you there, now if you led yourself, that's different, okay? But if God leads you there, he is in front of you, and all you're doing is following his voice. All you're doing is just stepping in line with him, just trusting him, realizing that he has your good in mind, not your bad. Hey, a good shepherd's not going to lead his sheep into danger. A good shepherd is trying to lead his sheep into green pastures. And the fact of the matter is that God is not led by man, but man is to be led by God. It's what one person said, unlike Western shepherds who drive the sheep from the side or behind, often using sheepdogs, Near Eastern shepherds lead their flocks, their voice calling them to move on. And this draws a remarkable picture of the master-disciple relationship. New Testament spiritual leadership is always by example, in other words. Jesus never says, go do that. He says, follow me to do this. You see the difference? He leads the sheep. Psalm 23, verse 3, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Number one, he owns the sheep by the price he paid. Number two, he knows the sheep intimately in detail and knows their specific individual names. He leads the sheep. He doesn't drive them. He's out in front saying, come this way. So all our duty is to stay close to his voice. Can I get an amen there, please? Get in the Word of God and follow the voice of the Good Shepherd. Number four, verse number seven, he protects the sheep. Here's another one of those verses that when you read it, it's like that's talking of salvation. May I say this to you? Salvation's verse 9, but not verse 7. Notice his language in verse 7. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. That's salvation. I don't believe so. Salvation's verse 9. I'm the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. That's salvation. But in verse 7, he's saying something else. And this is where I get number 4. He protects the sheep. Now, let me explain this. This truth comes out by the Lord saying here that I am the door of the sheep. One man tells a story. He said, Sir George Adam Smith made a journey to Palestine. One day he met a shepherd and his sheep, and he fell into a conversation with this man who's a shepherd. The shepherd showed him the sheepfold where the sheep were kept at night. It consisted of four walls and an opening. Sir George asked the question, are the sheep safe in there at night? Yes, the shepherd answered. But the man said, but there's no door. It was just an opening. That's all it was. It was just an opening. The shepherd said, I am the door. Now listen to this. He said, when the sheep are inside and the light is gone, I lie down in that open space. No sheep can go out unless he crosses my body. And no wolf can come in unless he goes through me first. And you know, friends, when Jesus said, I am the door of the sheep, could it be he was saying, I'm the one that lays in the opening? Could it be that he's saying, I'm the one that keeps the sheep inside, and I'm the one who keeps the enemy outside? We have this same protection in the Lord. Jesus stands between us and all the world, and he says, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. We can live with peace in our hearts as long as we know that he is in the opening and he's in the door. He stands between us and all the pangs of the past, all the perils of the present, and all the fears of the future. This is why in Psalm 23, verse 4, the sheep, David, the sheep, could say, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." He protects the sheep. One man tells a story, says, "You've heard that tender little story of the lad who became frightened in the night, and quitting his own bed, he crept into that of his father's bed. But as the storm increased, the lightning flashes grew in number, and the thunder peal shook the building, and this little boy was restless and leaped up from his pillow again and again with fear evidently being upon him. And finally he looked at his daddy and he said, 'Father, have you got your face turned toward me?'" In other words, it was dark, you see, in the room. He was in the bed with his daddy, but he couldn't hardly see his father. And the lightning flashing and the thunder rolling, and he just couldn't get peace about it. And he said, "Daddy, do you have your face turned toward me?" "Yes, my lad." And the boy said, "Can I put my hand in yours?" And accorded that privilege, this little boy, knowing his daddy was looking at him and knowing he had his hand in his daddy's hand, laid his head snugly into the pillow against his father's forehead and fell asleep. A place of perfect, quiet rest. The peace of broad day was in this little boy's soul because he knew his father was present, and his father was turned toward him, and his father was holding his hand. Our great shepherd, the Word of God says, neither slumbers nor sleeps. His face is always toward his sheep, and his hand is always outstretched to them. And he's got them in his fold. He's got them in his hand. Sound familiar with John chapter 10? Later on. He's got them in his protection, and in the opening he places himself. And there is nothing from the outside that can get in unless it crawls through and over him first. You know what that tells me? I am safe and secure in the protection of the Good Shepherd tonight. So are you if you're saved. Let me give you number five. We're looking at these things that he does for the sheep. He owns the sheep. He knows the sheep. He leads the sheep. He protects the sheep. Number five, he saves the sheep. We see this in verse 9. He said, "I'm the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." He shall be saved. The point is, those who enter in by the door, by Jesus Christ, are saved by the shepherd. This means he completely delivers them. He completely heals them and completely makes them whole. This phrase, saved, they shall be saved, this word is a very descriptive word and has been used, now get this, it's been used to describe a person who had recovered from a serious illness. In other words, that word saved can stand for somebody who was seriously ill, but now they're healed. It can stand for somebody who had survived a war, one who had come safely through a bad storm, or someone who had won at court. They had won a court case. What it means for us in a spiritual sense is that if you have come through the door, come through Jesus Christ, come through the only entrance into the fold, he's the only way in. You cannot get in any other way. There's one door. He is the door. And if you come in that way, he cures you from your illness. You have survived the war. You have come safely through a bad storm, and you've gone to the heavenly courtroom coming out a winner. Amen. He saves his sheep. And I'm telling you that we never need to get over the word saved. Have you been saved? Has the shepherd saved you? Have you been delivered? If you have, that's enough to praise him from now until the trumpet sounds. Amen. Romans 10:13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." He owns the sheep. He knows the sheep. He leads the sheep. He protects the sheep. He saves the sheep. And we close with this tonight. He provides for the sheep. You see this in verse 9. Notice this. "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." Notice this now. "And shall go in and out and find pasture." Jesus said this, if you come into the door, if you come in by the door, by me, if you enter the fold in the right way, the right place, if you enter this fold through Jesus Christ, he says, I'm going to save you. I'm going to deliver you. I'm going to make you a winner in the courtroom, and then you're going to be able to go in and out, in and out, in and out, and every time you go out, you're going to find pasture. What's he saying? What's he trying to get across? Here's what he's saying. Those who enter my fold will always find everything they need. That's what he's saying. See, it's not the sheep's responsibility to provide for the shepherd, but it's the shepherd's responsibility to provide for the sheep. The good shepherd provides for his sheep so much does he do this, that they are completely satisfied with him and want nothing else. See, Psalm 23, 1 and 2 says, "The Lord is my shepherd." What's the next phrase? "I shall not want." What does that mean? May I say this to you? If there's a child of God listening tonight, or maybe somebody who hears this by live streaming, or somebody who downloads this message later, and they say, "Wait a minute, I'm a child of God and I have a need. He's not provided for that." Then either you don't need it, or you took the provision he gave you and squandered it on something else. Amen. Because it's a guaranteed fact that the shepherd always provides what the sheep needs. You will never lack what you need with Jesus Christ. Never. Never. May I say this to you? If you have true, legitimate needs, and they're needs that yes, God is responsible to provide for you, let me encourage you to do something. Put your head on your pillow tonight and go to sleep in peace. Because if it's a true need and you haven't done something foolish with what he gave you, it's a guaranteed fact he will take care of you. Somehow, some way, the sheep will find pasture if nobody else does. I don't know how he does it. I don't understand it. But somehow, some way, God always provides for his sheep. He always does. Always. I want you to think with me just a moment. Those who belong to the Lord are well tended, have all their needs met, and I want you to think with me just a moment about your own life. Has the shepherd provided for you? May we do it this way? I don't do this often. Somebody from this section, stand and tell me how God has provided for you and met your needs. Just be thinking about it. Somebody from this section, somebody from this section, somebody in the balcony, who'll be first? Say, here's how God has provided for me. Who'll be first? Yes. Yes. Yes.
They're all the church. He's taking so many blessings.
My center here. Just wants to stand and say, here's how God's provided for me. I just want to give him praise. Yes, sir. Those gift cards, I can help you out. Okay? Somebody from the balcony say, I just want to stand and praise God for how he's provided for me. Anybody up there? Yes, sir.
I'm just thankful that God has always provided all my needs. And I'm really thankful that he has never always provided all my wants.
Amen. Well put. Yes, sir.
27 years ago, I was lonely, and the Lord knew my heart. I've been searching for help me for many years, and I'd actually decided that the Lord was enough. I came to that point where I said, okay, Lord, you'll always be enough for me, Lord. And then you brought in my wonderful wife into my life, and it's been 27 years ago, we've been happily married, and it's all because of the Lord and his provision for me.
Amen.
That the Lord needs enough, and he'll always be enough.
Amen.
His blessings especially.
Amen. God bless you. I'm glad the good shepherd serves the sheep. He owns you if you're one of his sheep. He knows you if you're one of His. All of your shortcomings, all of your weaknesses, all the blotches. If you have a piece out of your ear, or I'm talking in spiritual terms, or you have a piece of wool that's off your right side, He knows all about it. He not only knows you, He leads you. He's out in front trying to take you to green pastures. He protects you. He's the door. He's not going to let anything in that's going to harm you. He saves you. He saved you when you entered in by Him. He's delivered your heart and delivered your soul. And He's in the process of providing for you every day of your life. And may I say this to you? We're going to move into the next part of this chapter, God willing, next Sunday. I'm excited about the other things that He does for His sheep. But let's rejoice tonight in that He does these things for us. He provides, He saves, He protects, He leads, He knows, He owns. And may we rejoice in these things tonight. Thank you for being here tonight. God bless you. Let's bow for a word of prayer, shall we? Father, I pray You'll take this thought and use it. Challenge our hearts from the Word of God and help us to be faithful to You. Thank You for Your goodness to us, Your mercy and grace, and for Your service to us. Thank You that You own us, You know us, You lead us, You protect us, You save us, and Lord, You provide for us. We praise You for that. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I never want to let a service come and go without giving people an opportunity to trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. As they begin to play through softly, if the Lord is speaking to your heart about salvation and you've never entered by the door, you've never come to Jesus Christ, you've never trusted Him for your salvation, and why don't you come and let us take a Bible and share with you the gospel? Or tonight, maybe the shepherd is speaking to your heart and whispering in your ear, don't forget I own you. I bought you with a great price. Maybe He's whispering in your ear, I know what you're going through. I understand what you're dealing with. Maybe He's whispering in your ear, I want to lead you. All I want you to do is listen and follow. Maybe He's trying to calm your fears and He's whispering in your ear right now, I'm the door in your life. I will not let anything in to harm you. And I will keep you in where you need to be. Or maybe He's whispering to you about how He saved you. Remember the day when you came by the door? And you walked through that door and He delivered you and put you on your way to heaven when you were on your way to hell. Or maybe He's whispering to you about how He's just taken care of you down through the years. He's provided for you time and time again. This is one of those services I think it's appropriate to extend the invitation for you just to come and say, thank You, Lord. Thank You that You're a shepherd that serves. Thank You that You're a shepherd that provides and saves and protects and knows and leads and owns. And I want to ask Brother Gary just to begin to sing. And if God is speaking to you, you just want to come and praise the Lord tonight for His service to you as His sheep, that He's called you by name. He knows your name, and you just want to come and say, thank You that You're my shepherd. As Brother Gary sings, would you get out of your seat and come? Would you do that now as he sings?
When
come on.
When I saw the cleansing fountain open wide for all my sin, I obeyed the Spirit's wooing when He said, wilt thou be clean?
Come on now.
I will praise Him. I will praise Him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Give Him glory, all ye people, for His blood can wash away each stain.
Keep on singing, Brother Gary. Appropriate song tonight.
Blessed be the name of Jesus. I'm so glad he took me in. He's forgiven my transgressions. He has cleansed my heart from sin. I will praise him. I will praise him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Give him glory, all ye people, for his blood can wash away each day.
Before we sing that closing verse, I'd like to ask several of you to come. We're going to have special prayer for these fair booths. Good to have the Jacksons with us here leading the Amazing Grace fair booth. I want to ask several of you, if you wouldn't mind, to come. Let's gather at the altar here, and let's pray for these fair booths, asking God to help folks as they come by to get the information that the gospel will find good ground, good soil. You can come now, by the way. You come on now. Let's gather up here. Let's pray together. If you just want to make an altar of your seat, that'll be fine. Even if you can't get on your knees, that'll be fine. Just bow your heart and your eyes right there and your head right there. As we pray, as we seek God to touch these fair booths, may many come to Christ as a result of this effort this week. May the Lord touch it. May the Lord bless it. May the Lord breathe upon it. Just keep playing through, and as soon as we get done praying, we're going to finish our service by singing that last verse. I think it's a good way to go home tonight. Glory, glory to the Father, to the Son, to the Holy Spirit. Father, we love you tonight. Thank you for the privilege of being called your children and applying it to this message. Thank you for the privilege to be called a sheep of God. Thank you that you're the good shepherd. Thank you that you own us by paying the price. Thank you that you know us and everything about us. Thank you for leading us in the green pastures. Thank you for protecting us. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for providing for us. We praise you tonight for that. We glorify you tonight for that. And I pray, Lord, for these fair booths and the workers who will be there. Thank you for their willingness to serve. And I pray, Lord, that every piece of gospel literature that goes out and every gospel presentation that's given, I pray that it fall on good ground. And I pray that people will be in heaven as a result of the week of the fair beginning tomorrow. We pray, Lord, that you bless the workers, anoint them with your power, anoint them with your spirit, give them your burden and your burden for people, and may you use the gospel presentations, please. May we see an influx of growth as a result of these fair booths, and may we glorify you in the process. Thank you for the privilege to serve you. We love you tonight. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for being the good shepherd. Thank you for being the beautiful, virtuous, valuable, honest, worthy shepherd tonight. And we praise you that that's who you are. In Jesus' name. Glory, glory to the Father. Glory, glory to the Son. Glory, glory to the Spirit. Glory to the three in. Let's all bow our heads, close our eyes, sing it to him. I will praise him. I will praise him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Give him glory, all ye people, for his blood can wash away each stain. Let's keep our heads bowed, eyes closed. We'll sing this one more time. As we get to the chorus, I want to change it from I will praise him to I will praise you. I will praise you. Sing it to the Lord, asking God to receive praise from you. Your sheep voice and the bleeding of his sheep means a whole lot to him. And let's sing this together and we'll be dismissed. Shall we do it? Sing it together.
Glory, glory to the Father. Glory, glory to the Son. Glory, glory to the Spirit. Glory to the three in one.
Worship the Lord.
I will praise you. I will praise you. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Give him glory, all ye people, for his blood can wash away each stain.
Thank you for being here. You're dismissed. God bless you for coming.